Welcome back to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and joining me today is my co-host. We have a remarkably dense news cycle to get through today.
Great to be here. We are touching on everything from open source security meltdowns to the shifting cultural identity of software engineering, plus some really telling bug reports from the bleeding edge of AI development.
It really is a fascinating mix of stories. It feels like we are watching the growing pains of the AI era play out in real time. We are seeing structural changes in how the software world operates, driven entirely by the sheer scale of what modern AI can automate.
Absolutely. It's one thing to talk about AI coding assistants making individual developers 10 times faster. It's another thing entirely when those same automated tools start inadvertently launching denial of service attacks on open source security maintainers.
Which perfectly tees up our first major story for the day. Let's get right into it. The creator of Curl, Daniel Stenberg, just announced something completely unprecedented in the project's history. For the entire month of July 2026, the Curl project is going to completely pause all vulnerability report handling.
He is officially calling it a summer of bliss. Specifically, from midnight CEST on July 1st until 9 a.m. on August 3rd, their HackerOne submission form will be totally paused, and the dedicated security email address will not even be monitored.
It is a drastic and frankly shocking move for a piece of software that is foundational to the internet. Curl is used in billions of installations worldwide. Because of this blackout month, they are actually delaying the release of Curl version 8.22.0 by 2 full weeks, pushing the target date to September 2nd.
And the driving force behind this decision is just wild when you look at the numbers. The project has been getting hammered with a new security report roughly every 18 hours, and a massive portion of that volume is being driven by AI-assisted vulnerability research.
Right. We have talked about this AI slop problem before in other contexts, but security is where it gets actively dangerous. You have people using large language models to scan massive code bases and auto-generate bug bounty reports. Technically, the reports might point to a real block of code, but they lack any architectural context.
Exactly. They require a human maintainer to spend hours reverse engineering the AI's logic, only to find out it's a false positive or an entirely unexploitable edge case. It is a classic asymmetric warfare problem. It costs the AI user basically zero effort to generate and submit 50 reports, but it costs Stenberg and his small team of volunteer maintainers massive amounts of time and mental energy to triage them.
They are just burning out. But there is one very interesting caveat in Stenberg's announcement. Paid support contract holders will still continue to receive service during this blackout period.
That detail really stood out to me. It effectively creates a tiered security model for a fundamental open source project. If you are a paying enterprise customer, you still get immediate attention and patches. But if you are relying on the public open source model, you just have to wait until August.
Do you think this sets a dangerous precedent? If more critical open source infrastructure projects adopt this kind of closed for the summer policy, does it create an unacceptable security risk for the broader internet?
Honestly, I think the alternative is worse. The alternative is that maintainers just walk away entirely. We have to remember that open source is largely built on volunteer labor, even for projects as ubiquitous as Curl. If the ecosystem doesn't adapt to protect its maintainers from this flood of automated noise, we won't have these projects at all.
It really highlights the tension here. AI is making it easier to find potential flaws, but we don't have the human bandwidth to filter the signal from the noise. It is forcing a major reevaluation of how bug bounties and security disclosures can even function in the AI era. Moving on to a story that has really struck a nerve across the developer community. There's a fascinating piece currently going viral on Hacker News titled, "What the Funk Happened to Nerds?" It was published on MrMarket.lol, and it quickly racked up over 600 points across multiple discussion threads in June.
It is a very passionate, almost lamenting essay. The author argues that the tech industry has fundamentally shifted away from its roots. It used to be a culture defined by a deep, almost obsessive passion for niche interests, building things purely for the sake of intellectual discovery. Now, they argue, it's driven almost entirely by status, influence, and short-term financial incentives.
The author specifically cites Ellen Ullman's classic book, Life in Code, to illustrate the stark difference in how engineers used to view their professional identity versus today. The romanticized idea of the principled nerd, working late in a basement because they are obsessed with solving a hard technical problem, has basically been replaced by the mercenary founder who is just chasing venture capital.
I think this piece resonates so strongly right now because we are watching it play out in real time with the generative AI boom. There is this intense influencer culture permeating tech today. You have startup founders who seem to spend vastly more time writing thought leadership threads on social media than they do actually writing code or talking to users.
But we have to ask, is this a genuine cultural decline, or is it just the natural result of an industry maturing? 30 years ago, software engineering was incredibly niche and, frankly, not that glamorous. Today, it is one of the highest-paying, most mainstream career paths on the planet. Of course it's going to attract a different profile of person.
That is the ultimate counterargument. The principled nerd framework relies on a heavily nostalgic, maybe even inaccurate view of the past. Let's not pretend that the early tech pioneers in the 80s and 90s weren't also highly motivated by power, wealth, and market dominance. Look at the early browser wars or the founding of major tech monopolies. It was always cutthroat.
That is a fair point. But I do think there is a qualitative difference in how that ambition is performed today. The author of the piece seems really frustrated by the performative aspect of modern tech culture, the absolute requirement to be a tech personality rather than just a quiet technologist.
Absolutely. And when the barrier to entry for creating a software product drops, which AI coding assistants are accelerating rapidly, the core differentiating factor becomes distribution and marketing. Hence the rise of the developer influencer. It is a profound identity crisis for an industry that historically prided itself on pure technical meritocracy.
Let's transition into some of the technical weeds, specifically looking at how AI agents are actually being built. We have been closely tracking the rapid evolution of Anthropic's Claude code, which already has over 131,000 GitHub stars. And there is a very telling issue on their repository right now. Issue 68636, titled Exempt Claude.md from Compaction.
For some context, Claude.md is a specific markdown file that Claude code reads at the start of every single session. It acts as the ground truth for project rules, architectural conventions, and user instructions. It is supposed to be the agent's persistent memory across sessions.
Right. But Claude code also relies on an automated process called context compaction to manage its token limits. When a conversation gets too long and approaches the edge of the context window, the tool summarizes the history to free up space. The problem is, users are reporting that this lossy summarization process is actually compressing and forgetting the critical instructions in the Claude.md file mid-session.
It is incredibly frustrating for developers relying on this tool. You set up this meticulous instruction file so the AI knows your project's specific quirks, and halfway through a complex coding session, it just forgets everything and starts hallucinating completely different stylistic rules.
The GitHub issue notes that this is directly related to several other bug reports, specifically issue 6354 and issue 44166, all dealing with severe context loss during compaction. Some developers are getting so fed up that they are resorting to manual workarounds. They're maintaining separate files named plan.md or tasks.md just to force the agent to reread the core instructions and maintain some semblance of persistence.
It highlights a really fundamental challenge with the current generation of agentic tools. We are asking them to maintain complex state over long workflows, but their underlying architecture is still just a sliding window of tokens. It isn't true memory.
Exactly. Is the current compaction logic fundamentally incompatible with static instruction files, or is this just a prioritization bug where the system is failing to re-inject the Claude.md file after it finishes summarizing the chat history?
It feels like a paradigm shift is needed in how we design these systems. we are moving toward a model where certain files must be treated as immutable system prompts, completely walled off from the transient conversation history. You simply cannot compress the core operating rules of the project.
It is a great example of how the transition from a simple chatbot to an autonomous agent is exposing the structural limitations of current context window management. It doesn't matter if you have a million token window if the model systematically loses the plot halfway through the task.
All right, we have covered a lot of heavy ground today, from maintainer burnout to the philosophy of nerd culture. Let's shift gears and hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sticking with the Claude code tracker for a second, issue 68639 is requesting a default enabled flag for plugins in marketplace.json. Basically, enterprise development teams want a centralized way to force enable specific skills across their entire organization.
It is the classic enterprise governance problem applied to AI agents. Teams want to standardize workflows, but there is a real risk here of agent bloat. If you force too many background plugins to load by default, they could consume excessive tokens or actively interfere with the AI's primary coding tasks. It shows Claude Code is being treated as managed enterprise software now.
Also in the Claude Code repository, issue 65243. A user is asking for a simple feature to customize terminal tab names for Genome on Debian. They have multiple Claude Code sessions running concurrently for different projects and literally cannot tell them apart.
This perfectly encapsulates the reality of vibe coding in 2026. AI tools are transitioning from experimental novelties to essential daily driver utilities. And suddenly, basic quality of life UI features, like just being able to rename a terminal tab, become absolute blockers for professional productivity.
Moving away from AI, Iroh 1.0 was officially released on June 15th. It is a modular peer-to-peer networking stack written in Rust, and it has been in development for 4 years, going through over 65 versions.
Their whole design philosophy is dial keys, not IPs. It completely abstracts away the nightmare of NATs and firewalls by using authenticated public keys for direct device connections. They even stabilized their own custom QUIC implementation called NOC to make it happen. It's already running in production on hundreds of thousands of devices.
Finally, a frustrating story for digital readers. Author Andre Klein wrote a post titled, "Your EPUB is Fine," detailing how perfectly valid EPUB 3.3 files are being flagged as corrupted by Kobo e-readers.
The culprit is Kobo's reliance on Adobe's legacy render SDK for standard EPUBs, which completely chokes on modern CSS. Ironically, Kobo uses a vastly superior modern WebKit engine for their proprietary KPUB format. It is a classic case of hardware manufacturers letting DRM-focused legacy engines ruin the experience for open standards.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of the Naracast Tech Briefing. We've covered a lot of ground today, from the fragility of open source to the growing pains of AI agents.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you want to dig into any of the GitHub issues, essays, or articles we discussed today, you can find all the direct links in our show notes.
We will be back later this week with more deep dives into the rapidly shifting tech landscape. Until then, keep building, and we'll see you next time.